Hi, I'm David Stein. When I'm not talking to other people about money on Money for the Rest of Us, I'm stacking Benjamins.
Live from Joe's mom's basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and today is National Bald is Beautiful Day. So take off that hairpiece, stackers, and let your beauty shine through. We all know bald is beautiful, but is speed beautiful? Or does going too fast create bigger problems with your money and career? On today's show, we'll feature a guest with a full head of hair, the co-founder of Women Who Money, Amy Blacklock. And from LenPenzo.com, here's a guest with another crazy hairstyle, Carrot Top. That guy is, it's just Len Penzo. And finally, from this podcast, the guy who never takes his bag off, so who knows about his hair, it's OG. But that's not all. On our Friday FinTech segment, we'll regroup with the founder of Money Tracking App for Couples from Zeta. It's Aditi Shekhar. And now, a guy who never puts his toupee on straight, Joe Saul Sehi.
And you know, it's a great toupee when it makes sure all four hairs on my head are nearly perfect. Hey, everybody, welcome to Friday on the show. I am Joe Saul Sehi, Average Joe Money on Twitter, and sitting across the card table from me again is the man with the bag over his head, Mr. OG.
No bag, just a hat today.
Well, and you do have, I will, spoiler alert, everybody, I'll give people some intel here. You do have a nice little bald spot in the back of your head.
Not true.
Totally
fake news.
Totally true.
No, I don't think so. No. You must be confusing me with someone else.
You can't see the back of your head. That's why you don't think there is.
Oh, I'm pretty certain there's not.
Got to go back and look in a mirror, big guy. Hate to tell you. The aging process is at work, my friend.
Doesn't work to me.
But nope. A guy who has a full head of not much hair, deep under Los Angeles, it's Mr. Len Penzo.
Yes, I have kept my head bald for many years now. It's been, how long has it been? 17, 18 years?
When did you
I was like OG. I was like OG. I had the bald spot going in the back there. And
don't have that. Nobody's like me, because that's not a thing.
I think we found the soft spot, Len. We got to keep going.
Spot.
We found the bald spot.
Everybody's a comedian.
Got to go in for more, right? And the woman, by the way, who has more hair than all three of us put together, and she is a Plutus winner last year for her blog, Life Simplified, and now she's a Plutus, they don't call them nominees, they call them finalists, our good friend Amy Blacklock.
Hi, guys. And to be here.
And I forgot to say that's for Women Who Money, by the way.
Oh, sorry. Yes. Women Who Money this year.
Yes, absolutely. So tell everybody about Women Who Money.
Women Who Money is a website designed for not just women, believe it or not, but for all individuals looking to improve their personal finances. One thing we do there is we level the content. We have content for beginners, intermediate, and advanced learning topics, financial topics. So it's a little bit different than you'll see on some sites, but we cover a wide variety of topics in the personal finance space.
I've been known to lurk on your site before, not being part of the quote target audience, but it really is a great spot for men too.
Thank you. Surprisingly, about 40% of our audience is men.
Is it really?
Which is great. Yeah, it is.
Now, how do you know that? Can you see the camera when we come in? Is that the deal? Are you spying on us as we get to the site?
Well, okay. It might not be completely accurate since it's Google Analytics, but that's what it tells us.
Well, that's interesting. So on the site, Amy, big question. How many words do you guys use on Women Who Money?
You mean because we use Grammarly? I should know that.
Nice. I think she's on to me, Len.
Very good.
Like you, I heard you this morning on live, and like you, I write 99% more words than most users of Grammarly, and use them correctly about think it was a little better than you at maybe 36% of the time. I think you said 20-something percent.
Yeah. You're ahead of me. Big thanks to Grammarly for supporting Amy and I. Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people like Amy and I improve our writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. Start writing confidently by going to grammarly.com/SB, and you'll get 20% off a Grammarly premium account today. I actually had somebody write to me yesterday and ask me about, she's in the medical field and she uses all kinds of words that, you know, are specifically for medical people. You know, you can add in new words to Grammarly. I didn't know that. I got to start listing that, Amy, like all these words that I supposedly use incorrectly. I'm just going to start saying, no, that's
just
right.
Just add them.
You're like, no, I'm doing that right.
Yeah, that is correct. That'd be very correct.
I hit trash a lot or ignore.
Right. Well, we got a great topic today. We're going to talk about speed, a fantastic article out about speed with your financial life and your career. And we've got Amy here, Len, we got OG. So let's get the party started.
Hello, darlings. And now it's time for your favorite part of the show, our Stacking Benjamin's Headlines.
Our piece today comes to us from the jsummers.net blog. Len, you ever been here before?
No, I never have. But you know what? I was an interesting blog. I even went to the about page and I checked out some of his other writing. So very good, James.
Yeah, very interesting. I thought this was really neat. The piece is called, and we'll link to it on our show notes page at stackingbenjamins.com for anybody who wants to follow along, Speed Matters, Why Working Quickly is More Important Than It Seems. Tell us just briefly then, Len, what is this piece about?
Well, basically, he's trying to summarize the question about working quickly and is it something that's worth doing? And he comes to the conclusion that, yes, working quickly is better because it actually allows you to, once you start working quickly and then you get better with something over time, you can do things both quick and good. So, you know, he had a lot of examples in there, but that was, I guess, the gist of it.
Amy, are you somebody who's always tried to work quickly?
Yes, most of the time. But I am a slow writer, honestly.
Are you really?
I am. I think because I suffer a little from imposter syndrome. Okay, that's a lie. I suffer a lot from imposter syndrome. So that tends to make me be a perfectionist or an overworker sometimes. So yeah, sometimes I'm slow at some things. But when I'm confident about a task, I go pretty quickly, go fast.
You're a guy who works quickly.
Just like kind of in short bursts of energy.
Yeah.
Like hammer stuff out and then don't think about it again.
Yeah, and just to get the full pulse of our panel here, Len, you a guy who likes to work quickly?
I do like to work quickly, yes. But, you know, there's some things you can't do quickly. You know, you'd like to work quickly, but, you know, you've got to be careful.
Well, and I want to ask about that, about quickly. First of all, the upside of working quickly. Amy, I think that especially when it comes to things like setting up your financial future, like putting things on auto pay or fixing your 401k so that it's aligned more toward your goals or even doing your financial plan, whatever it is, like the second you think about it, getting it done and working quickly that way can be really a great thing for your future.
Oh, for sure. As they say, time is money, right? So the quicker you can start saving, the quicker you, as you said, put in those automatic bill pay or automatic deposits, automatic transactions to your 401k. The sooner the better. So time, is quick.
Yeah. Do you do that in your life?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Like the second you think about it, bam, I'm on it.
Now that you say it like that, most things, yes, but not everything. I'll be honest. There are things that get put on the to-do list. And as the article referenced, sometimes those things stay on the to-do list and don't get done. I think he put it as sometimes malaise sets in and those things just stay there. But other things, yes. As soon as I think of it, I know I need to do it or I'll forget.
What do you do?
Especially as I get older. Sorry.
What do you do with those things, though, that continue to stay on the to-do list? Do you finally just say, you know what, I'm never doing that? Do you delegate it? Like, how do you get rid of those?
Both. Honestly, sometimes I'll have to say to my business partner or to my husband, hey, I need you to do this. I can't get to it. But usually they always get done. They don't stay on there forever or they don't go away. But sometimes if they're on there long enough, maybe they don't need to get done anymore.
Yeah.
You know, things change.
Yeah. Yeah, Len, you're a guy who works with a team of people. It seems to me, especially in a job like engineering, that going fast sometimes promotes mistakes.
Well, yeah, that's right. So, and that's what I was kind of hinting at. I mean, there are some things you don't want to work, you know, you don't want people working fast. You want them to be sure and steady, you know, a surgeon, right? You're going into for a surgery. You want to make sure your surgeon's taking his time and doing things properly. But yeah, there are things that you do want to work quickly if you can. And if we're pushing this into personal finance, like one of the first things is your retirement savings, right? Get to work on that immediately. There's no delay there because delay costs money. And so that's something you can do. Get your 401k automatic deductions going. Take that employer match immediately. Don't sit and wait and say, oh, it'll go, you know, I can get to that next year.
Yeah, it feels to me sometimes like overanalysis on things. There's this crossover point, right? Where spending too much time on a task, even if you're trying to get it 100% right, like the quantitative difference between 98% right and 100% right is nothing, not appreciable. So just get it 98% right and keep going.
There's a term for that. It's called paralysis by analysis. And it's a law of diminishing returns, really. There is a point where close is good enough. It really is. You can't try and make sure you're 100% right all the time.
Oh, gee, in this community, we've seen what Len's talking about happen with investments a lot, right? I mean, you've been there online. I've been there. We've gotten calls to the show on the Lifeline, the Magnify Money line. People going, you know, I'm deciding between these three funds and can't decide which one's right.
I'm a big fan of just making a decision because, like he kind of talks about here at the very beginning, just doing something spurs on the next thing. And it doesn't necessarily matter whether or not you pick the exact right thing. You know, if we're using investments as an example, the sheer fact of doing something will spur on the next task, whatever it happens to be. Should I pick between these three mutual funds isn't the issue. It's I need to pick one of them so that I can start saving money into them, or so that I can start investing money, or so that I can check that off so that I can move on to building, you know, my kids' college fund. So I think I prioritize decision-making faster, maybe a little bit more than other people, because there's so few things in life that are irrevocable once you make them. And it's okay to make a mistake. It's okay to get down the field and go, this was the wrong way. I should go a different direction instead. And this is true with anything, whether it's, you know, money like we talk about, or it could be your career or a hobby that you think you might be interested in or whatever. It's always great to just explore new things, but do so at a reasonable clip, because then you can decide whatever it is that you want to do next. You know, but if you just sit there with, like Len said, just trying to analyze the last microscopic component of it, you don't actually do anything. So I don't know. I'm a big fan of just doing something and moving on.
But part of this, though, Amy, in a lot of times you're dealing with other people. I mean, you are married. And so you're planning with somebody else. When you're planning with another person, what if it's not you? Like, how do you get somebody else moving that you're planning along with?
Well, aside from kicking them and then you know what?
Have you been known to do that?
What I found is helping them come to the answer like it's their idea, if that makes sense.
Yeah, appealing to their ego a little bit.
Yeah. Or finding what makes them tick, you know, finding their why would they want to do that thing? And then helping them come to that answer or come to the thing they need to do because of their why.
Yeah. So if they're going to get the thing that they want to have happen, this is a way to get that.
Yes. Thank you for explaining that.
Yeah.
Better.
No, exactly. I don't know how much better it was, but Len, I think that especially in engineering, that's important, right? Finding the why, but behind why are we doing this? Cause I would imagine you've got some engineers you work with that will analyze everything, even if it's irrelevant.
Well, yeah. You know, in engineering, there's the old joke that if you want something to never get done, you give it to the engineer, because the engineer projects are never done, because engineers are always trying to figure out, okay, this we've got this done. Now, how can we make it better? How can we make it better? At some point, and this is what you do as you get higher up the ranks and you become a manager of these engineers, is you've got to be the guy to say, okay, good, we're there. We've done what we need to do. Don't do more than you need to, because there's a law of diminishing returns. We've got to get this thing out, this product out, and let's get to work. So, and let me say one more thing about getting people motivated. The first thing you've got to do with people is you've got to set an objective, define your objective, and then set the goals and then define a plan for how you're going to get there. And usually when you have that roadmap, the procrastination tends to go away because it even gives the procrastinators a path for how to get to from point A to point B.
Well, that's interesting. I want to focus on one more thing here I found that's interesting, which is this blogger points out, Jay Summers points out, that people that are fast and are thought of as fast in their career, they seem to attract more work. They attract more stuff. Now, you can look at that if you're lazy, like it's a bad thing. But if you're somebody who works for yourself and you're trying to get clients, that's a good thing. Do you find, OG, that you have that feeling that you're more likely to give somebody a job if they're perceived as being fast?
Fast. I don't know. Thorough, maybe, is maybe a little bit better. I don't know if fast has kind of, I just
what if it's thorough and it takes them all, you know, takes them forever to get stuff done. Like I've worked with some thorough people.
You're kind of right. I was thinking about the experience that I'm having right now with a rental property management company. I mean, we spent about a 30-minute phone call this week on the city needs to get the water heater inspected. And I said, okay, I understand that before we do the next steps of the remodel. And I said, oh, okay, great. So when are they coming? And she's like, well, it usually takes them a couple of weeks. I said, okay, understood. But who calls the inspect? Do I call the, oh no, Bob and I get along pretty well. So, okay, so you're going to call Bob. You know, I mean, it's like we kept on going back and forth and I'm thinking like, why is it going to take 2.5 hours to get a freaking water heater inspected or 2.5 weeks to get a water heater inspected? Well, it turns out that she was just saying, you know, she just was going, well, someday I'll call. You know, and it was really frustrating. So I think in that context, yeah, that and communication, maybe, because when we are left to our own vices, we will create stuff that doesn't exist in our minds to fill the void. Use the example of employees or I use consulting or something like that. If you've got this time where there's not communication, you just wonder like what the hell's going on. And I know I'm guilty of that.
Well, and I was going to say, if it's me, I'm always thinking it's negative. I'm thinking
I'm sure they're really taking care of me. Yes. Yeah, they're taking care of you. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. like my property management company, you know, but communication, I think, kind of helps with that because even if it's a perceived speed, because you're updating them frequently. And that's something that, you know, as a business owner, I'm trying to get better at as well.
Yeah, Amy, speed or thoroughness with the people you work with, people around you?
Thoroughness. Thoroughness, but giving them a deadline. You need a deadline. I work fast on a lot of things. I told you I'm a slow writer.
Yeah.
Give me a deadline and that sucker's going to get done.
That's funny. We had Don Hahn on the show. He was a Disney Imagineer and he's a producer of many Disney movies. The last one was Maleficent. And actually, I think he even was the producer of with Tim Burton of the Dumbo movie that just came out last year. But Don Hahn said, if you leave creative people alone without a deadline, you'll just burn through money. Like they will create great. But if you put a deadline on it, all of a sudden they create great stuff. It's funny. Do deadlines make you more creative?
I'm not sure about creative. Maybe they just light a fire under me. And then I know when I have to have it done and I'll get it done. And I have not missed a deadline. So
Len thorough versus speed.
Well, it depends on the job, really. You know, what's being done. Some things you want to be done quickly. Some things you want a little more time and thought being done. You know, so to me, it all depends.
Yeah, but doesn't it frustrate you when you have somebody that thinks it should be thorough and you're like, come on, just get to it. Like what Amy's talking about with the deadline.
Yeah. And that's what we do is you give a deadline. The trick is, what I do usually is when we're doing projects and we're setting up projects, it's my job to come up with the time. And I always try to purposely set the time as quickly as possible. And then I will negotiate and, you know, we'll say, hey, I need this done in 1 week. And the engineer will come back and say, no, you know, that's going to take 4 weeks. And I was like, no, can't do. Sometime we'll meet in the middle. And usually that middle position is probably the right amount of time because there's Parkinson's law, right? Which is, you know, work expands to fit the time given. So you've got to watch for that.
Yeah. I love that. Work expands to fit the time. I've been guilty of that before once or twice or 100,000 times. Yeah. Big takeaway. We'll let our guests go first. Big takeaway on this piece, Amy.
Like I said, time is money. You need a deadline. and you'll get the work done. But if you go too fast, you can make mistakes. You can miss including necessary info, important info. And sometimes if you go too fast, you miss connecting to the experience of what you're doing. You might not retain the information. You might not learn what you really need to learn. And you could miss out forming relationships or connections to what you're doing.
That you might have had.
Yeah.
Len?
I'd say, you know, speed is important, but it's also very important to do things right the first time, because if you don't do it right the first time, you have to do it again. You might end up taking, spending more time and therefore money than you intended.
OG?
See, I kind of go the other way. I think that 80% is probably good enough. Get it done, move on to the next thing, especially if you've got a team of people and you can do something 80% and you give it to the next person 80%. This is a concept that I learned years ago. If you do 80, you give it to somebody else who does the remaining 80. Like you said a little bit earlier, if you're at 96%, that's pretty gosh darn good. And that's probably good enough to kind of keep the ball rolling. On occasion, you're going to miss that extra 4%, but the benefit of getting it done probably outweighs that in the long run, I think.
Well, coming down to the basement, we talked to her a while ago, and I think it's time for an update. Aditi Shaker is the founder and CEO of a fintech app called Zeta. And ever since we had her on the first time, it seems like about every 2 or 3 months, we have tons of people asking, what's a great app for people to manage their money together? There are two that we really like. We like, of course, the Zeta app, and that's why Aditi's about to come back down to the basement. But we also like the HoneyFi app. So I think it's time to get an update on what's been going on with the Zeta team since she was here last. Here she comes, coming down to the basement, Aditi Shaker. And walking back down the stairs to the basement for her second appearance on the show, maybe third. It's our good friend, Aditi Shaker's here. How are you?
I am doing so well, and I'm so thrilled to be back.
Well, I thought it was about time. We had somebody in our basement Facebook group who asked about tracking apps for couples. And you know what? I thought it's been long enough since you've been on the show that we should talk about all the things that you guys, because I know you haven't been standing still. But before we get to that, tell everybody who's new to the show a little bit about Zeta and what you guys do.
Yeah, happy to. So I'm Aditi. I'm the founder and CEO of Zeta. And Zeta's entire focus is to help young couples figure out their personal finances. Irrespective of how you manage your finances, whether you put it all together, keep it all apart, or do something in between, we've built the most sophisticated personal finance tracker for couples like you.
And let's talk about how it works, because it isn't just an app. I mean, it's app, but you can also get to it from the web.
That's right. We learned very early on in our user research that couples were using Zeta both on their desktop and their mobile phones. So we built both because we wanted to keep it as flexible and available to both users in a relationship. So you can access Zeta on our web application, or you can access it via phone, whichever you prefer.
And once again, don't want to spend a lot of time here because I want to spend more time on what's different than the time we spoke, been maybe a year and a half ago. But give everybody kind of the basics, because you talk about how you can manage your money separately. You can manage your money together. Talk to that for a second.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the primary insights that we discovered when we were first building Zeta is that a lot of couples in today's day and age are choosing not to merge their finances 100%. So they were spending money on their own and then spending money together, and it became really difficult for them to keep track of how much money was actually coming in and how much was going out. So everything on Zeta is really organized by how you connect your accounts and whether you tell us those accounts are personal or shared. And once you give us that information, we automatically segregate the data coming through, i.e. all of your transactions as you swipe your cards and spend your money. And then we organize that that information for you on the app. So you can sit down at the end of the month and say, oh, it's the end of July and I realized I spent $3,000 this month. 1,000 of it was stuff that I did on my own, but 2,000 of it was stuff we did together. So if you're over or under or wherever you are in your finances, you can really pinpoint what's going on and where that activity is coming from.
Longtime listeners of the show know that Cheryl and I have a weekly money meeting, and it's great because with Zeta, you've got just charts and graphs that are really easy to understand, like where your money's at in a hurry.
Yeah, exactly. We realized that there were individuals inside a relationship who were spending an obscene amount of time trying to collect that data. And we were just like, wait, stop. Let us do this for you. Let us do the grunt work and leave you to go have a little more fun in your life. So we essentially send you an update on your money every week, just so that you can have that what we call money date successfully without that one person, the CFO in a relationship, having to do all that work.
Yeah, makes it so much easier on me being that guy.
and what's been so shocking to me, Joe, is that people who completely combine their finances still use Zeta. And the number one reason they use it is for all of that communication and support in helping them figure out what's going on and asking each other questions about, you know, what's this expense about? Or why is our credit card bill late or whatever it may be?
Well, one of the reasons you're one of my favorite people is because you and I have had this discussion over beer, and anybody that can have a discussion about budgets over beer with me is a BFF of mine. But seriously, it's less about the budget. It's much more about the communication than the budget.
So true. I think most people come to us and when we ask them, why do you love Zeta? They say it's because it allowed me and my partner to get on the same page. That's ultimately the bottom line. So you're absolutely right. It's less about the budget, less about the numbers. And to be honest, not everyone will create a budget. But what they really want to be able to say is, oh, we can sit down and look at something together and both have transparency and insight into what's going on with our money. The worst situation is when I talk to couples, you know, I remember there was a couple sitting around my dinner table and she said, oh, yeah, we want to buy a house. And he said, with what money? That's a really shitty situation to watch because we want them to be on the same page, to have access to all that information. And that eventually unfolded with couples that we've seen on Zeta.
Well, and you especially want to be on the same page, at least for as long as you're hanging out with friends and not making everybody uncomfortable at the table.
I was like, well, let's think about this conversation. And it ended up in a good place. But, you know, 65% of divorces today still are attributable to money. And so this problem isn't just one that couples are navigating through in existing relationships, but it's something that they're looking back in hindsight and saying, man, I wish I'd had help around this topic.
Yeah, nobody talks about money and it's the world's biggest issue. But let's talk about this. So we just brought the new kids up to speed. So that explains the basics, but you guys have been pretty busy the last couple of years. Tell me about the updates. What's going on with Zeta now that wasn't going on the last time you were on the show?
First and foremost, one of the biggest things that we worked on is thanks to so many people and couples who were on the platform who taught us about the quirks of their finances, we've made Zeta to be a lot more flexible. Back in the day when we first started, we really focused on couples who had some personal accounts and some shared accounts. But now we support couples, you know, we support couples who put everything together and have mini allowances for each other. We support couples who keep things entirely apart. And we've done quite a bit of work to support couples who really don't like to look at their finances in that much detail, but just want things to, as we say, automagically work. And so we've worked a lot on that auto magic over the last 12 months to start creating a system that learns. It's really smart. It starts to predict your expenses, and it allows you to get a really, really good view of your finances without a lot of work.
What do you mean by predicting your expenses? Where does that come into play?
Yeah, so we're starting to play around with a prediction algorithm that instead of, you know, typically the way most budgeting apps work is that you get to know what you're going to spend or what you've spent in the last month. So it's sort of like a reactive view. Whereas now what we're going to start doing is actually projecting what we think you'll spend based on what we know about your transactions. So if you're somebody who always pays rent at a certain time or always has at least 6 bills throughout the month, we're going to start putting that information front and center so you can see that, hey, you know, I may only have spent $1,000 worth of my budget so far, but actually I already know that I'm going to spend another $2,000 on bills of X, Y, and Z. So that's what we're trying to move folks to, is getting them to know what's going to happen to their money before it actually happens.
That's really cool. One thing I really like is, speaking of the future, is the goal platform, right? So we can put down the different goals that you have that as a couple you're working toward. Has anything changed in that area?
Yeah, so we're about to ramp up quite aggressively on goals. But what we've allowed folks to do is just start tracking their goals, seeing how they're making progress towards those goals. Because what we found was every couple had goals. They just didn't have a place that they were hosting it and looking at it. So we wanted to integrate it into their monthly conversation. So right now, Zeta is pretty basic. You can enter that information manually, just as you would on a spreadsheet. But in the future, we're actually going to let you start saving towards those goals and tracking the growth of your savings over time, which is something that couples, some of the most sophisticated couples I've seen with money, they get a lot of joy out of seeing something called their savings rate. Have you guys seen this and heard about this before, Joe?
No, not at all. No, I'm kidding. Could you hear my tongue firmly in my cheek there? Yeah, the FIRE movement is all about savings rate.
Deeply passionate about savings rate. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of it too. So we want to start exposing these sorts of metrics to our users so that they can start to get a sense of not only is the sheer amount of their money growing, but is the velocity in which they're growing getting faster.
Well, and also
I'm starting out with all my math and science terms here.
Right. Well, it also, to, you know, use another term, it kind of gamifies it, and it makes it, you know, the more you see little wins, the more you start to create bigger and bigger wins.
Absolutely. And I think one of the other things we always hear about is as your salaries grow, you get this dynamic of a lifestyle creep, right? Like you're like, oh, I'm making more money so I can spend more money. But what these rates allow you to do is actually check that as your income is growing or as your debt is reducing, your savings is actually keeping up with that pace. And that's a really, really helpful view, albeit a very different one than the ones that you traditionally see in the market.
Oh, that's so cool. Now, you guys have also released your own podcast since we last spoke.
Yes, it is an incredibly embarrassing and transparent view of my relationship with my husband, who is by no means a money person, but he has very, very gracefully co-hosted this podcast. It's called The Money Date. And essentially, we invite couples on there from all walks of life, couples who've been together forever, couples who've just started dating, and we ask them to talk to us about their money stories. And what I love is couples don't just come on there and tell us about their successes, but they also tell us about their failures. And I think you learn just as much from some of those failures than you do from everyone sounding like they have an Instagrammable relationship.
Right. Right. I feel like I'm sitting in the next booth at a restaurant listening to a discussion. Maybe I shouldn't be allowed in.
Exactly. And the goal really there is to say, like, hey, this stuff isn't easy. There's all these sorts of nuances, these personal preferences that get played into our money decisions. And what I love about our podcast is at the end of the day, it's never really about the numbers. It's all about the emotion. It's like one partner saying, my parents, when I was 5 years old, never took me on vacation. So I just really care about vacations. And that clarity and that sort of clear drive, that's a motivation that's making them make the decisions they make, is so, so interesting to listen to.
It's so fun. The tool is called Zeta. You'll find it at askzeta.com. You'll also find it in the App Store and in Google Play. And obviously, the podcast is wherever you listen to podcasts. Did I get that right?
Yeah, you nailed all of them. Do you want to be my new PR person?
I don't have time to be my own PR person. What are you talking about? Aditi, thanks for hanging out with us.
Anytime.
Hey there, trivia fans. It's Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And you know, here's a blast from the past. Apparently the phrase, bald is beautiful, you know, it hasn't always been as wonderful as it is today. Check out what I found on National Bald is Beautiful Day.
GLH means great looking hair. Just spray GLH on and it instantly covers your bald spot, leaving you with great looking hair. And ladies with thinning hair or bald spots, GLH solves the problem instantly. GLH is not a paint or a cover-up. It's an amazing powder that clings to the tiniest hairs on your head. It actually builds on itself, leaving you with great, great-looking hair. And the GLH hair system is not expensive.
Wow, that's incredible. This is the first time I've ever used this product. I saw it on the infomercials, and I was skeptical at first, but it works.
Too bad you can't get that anymore, huh? Here's a question, though. A pack of GLH was quite a value. You know, it came with the hair thickener, a finishing shield, and, you know, I'm told, I don't know this from personal experience, but I'm told for no extra charge, and this is where they really got money out of my wallet. I mean, some people's wallets. You got the hair cleanser thrown in there, no extra charge. So, you know, here's today's question that I really don't know the answer to, but I'm sure some other folks out there do. How much did this 3-bottle package cost? How much money did it just suck right out of your pocket? We'll get you the answer right after I comb down this beautiful mane I still got that's always been there, and it's always been totally mine. Nothing but Doug's natural hair. That's what I got.
GLH, Len. You didn't have to shave your head. You could have had GLH back in the day.
You know, the problem with that, the nightmare I have is like you're with a girl and she's running her fingers through your hair, and then she pulls her hand back and there's this big glob of black goop. It's like, no, that's okay. I'll shave.
I'm not sure Ron Popeil ever thought of the downside of hair in a can.
Hey, I think about that stuff.
Amy, you ever run your hands through somebody's hair and get a big old glob of stuff?
No, absolutely not.
It did not happen. All right. So the question on the table is, how much did this 3-pack cost back in the day? And we play this game. We've played it all year long. We are keeping score. The score right now is Len is in the lead with 9. Paula, who Amy is playing on behalf of today, Paula Pant from Afford Anything, she's at 7. And OG, who was leading the entire first part of the year, is stuck at 6. But the way we play is prices.
Letting everybody catch up and get a little bit ahead.
Prices. We play Prices Right style. And that means that it's the closest without going over. So, Amy, you get all the convoluted rules to this game?
Got it.
Got it. Yes. All right. OG, you get to decide first then. Would you like to guess the price of GLH, aka hair in the can, first, in the middle, or last?
I'll go last.
That is weird. Amy, would you like to go in the middle or first?
I'm going to go in the middle.
Wow, that is strange too. So Len, that means you are up to bat, my friend. What was the price to get great looking hair?
Okay, so the 3 things were what again? There was a finishing rinse or something like that?
Oh, yeah. You got the, let me see, you got the hair thickener.
Hair thickener.
A finishing shield.
The finishing shield,
and,
yes.
And the hair cleanser.
Ah, and the cleanser. And what year was this?
This would have been early 1990s. It was created in the late 1980s, but sold largely in the early 1990s.
All right. Well, let's see. I have a proprietary pricing strategy here, but I'll let it out for so everybody can hear and you can all just. So let's see. Hair thickener. That's probably who knows what that is. That's probably like a silly string or something. What's a can of silly string back then? It was probably $4.99. So we'll just say $5. The finishing shield. That must be some sort of lacquer, I would think. It's got to be a lacquer. You know, like the spray on lacquer. You know, you can buy in the spray can. So back then, I'll say that was $5. And then the cleanser, that's just shampoo. That was probably $1.99. That's $2. So that's $12. Then we got to throw in profit. Let's say it's 100% markup. I'm going to say $24.99.
$24.99, but only if you get it now. Operators are standing by. So, Amy, we got $24.99 from Len. What do you think?
Len made it difficult. I was going to go $29.99, so I guess I'm going to stick with that.
$29.99. I like how you guys are both of you are like retail geniuses with the 99 thing going on.
Yeah, we're going, I like for, that. We're going for the hole in one here, man. We want to hit it right on the head.
Could have said $25 and $30, but no, not that. Ron Popeil would do that to you. So, OG, where do you come down, man?
Under 24 or over 29. Those are my two choices. Son of a biscuit.
Or they're in the middle.
Yeah. Now that's an option.
You got $5 there in the middle.
That would be not how you play Prices Right. Got $1. Let's see here. So early 90s, you said?
Yeah, $1, by the way. You weren't here last week. $1 would have won the game. Remember that, Len?
Wasn't that the answer?
Yeah, the answer was one. Yeah.
The answer was one.
Yeah, the number of times that Singing in the Rain guy, what's his name?
Yeah, see, I'm going to go with
Gene Kelly.
Gene Kelly. Yeah.
One and
I'm going to go with some vanity pricing here, because all that stuff may really only cost $12 to make, but you're talking about vanity as it relates to men's hair. So they're going to add a little kicker on top of there. So I'm going to say, just because I need all the space in the world, I'm going to say $30.
And if it's $29.99, oh,
well,
my
it is
God.
What it is, you know, at that point. But I want to say that the real number was like two easy payments of $39.99 or something like that, you know.
And Amy's never coming back.
Mess with the bull, you get the horns.
Paula won't let me.
I think she'll be fine. I just, So Amy, as long as it's $29.99. All right. We'd love to tell you, by the way, what the answer is, but we're going to make you wait because we're going to tell you a bit more about Grammarly. We'll be right back. A big thanks to Grammarly for supporting Stacking Benjamins. Grammarly is a communication tool, and man, sometimes I can use one of those because I don't really find the right word. It's funny. I have a friend who has told me in the past, he's like, I can't believe you do a podcast, because the guy who can never seem to find the exact right word, and you're the one who does words for a living? Really? Well, Grammarly is a communication tool that helps people like me improve our writing to be mistake-free, clear, and effective. They encourage all of us, even the best students, the top podcasters, top professionals, and everybody to use Grammarly to do your best work and accomplish even more of your goals. So Grammarly is this writing assistant that makes you look and sound smarter. You can easily improve yourself and your communication, whether it's at school, at work, almost anywhere with Grammarly. They help people show their best self through writing and are available across platforms, including online browser extensions, desktop editors, and a mobile keyboard checker. Grammarly is available all over the place, whether you use Chrome, Firefox, Safari, Edge, iOS, Android, Windows, Mac. Their free product will review your critical spelling and grammar. I use the premium product, thank goodness, says everybody who's read my stuff, because that looks out for spelling, grammar, plus advanced punctuation, structure, style within context, vocabulary suggestions, conciseness, and readability for different occasions. In fact, it's funny. We have a woman who listens to us in Jackson, Michigan, not far from us. And she wrote me the other day saying, hey, I work in the medical industry. Grammarly doesn't know a few of these words. You know that if you work with an area and are using words that are not often used, you can add them to Grammarly. I didn't even know about that. So accomplish your goals with help from Grammarly. Stop making email typos on your phone. Close more deals at work with your emails. Polish your resume to get that new job. I'm a big fan of Grammarly. I use a lot of words, and I found out using Grammarly, I don't use them particularly well. But I'm getting better. You know, I'm getting better because of Grammarly. And even when I'm not getting better, Grammarly makes it seem like I'm better, which if I'm writing business emails, especially, it's super important. So here's what you get. Listen to this. If you go to Grammarly.com/SB, you'll get 20% off your Grammarly premium account today. That's Grammarly.com/SB for 20% off your Grammarly premium account. All right, Len, you are low man on the totem pole, brother, with $24.99.
Yeah, if I knew what OG was going to do, I'd have said $1. Actually, I'd have said 99 cents.
Taking it all. Absolutely. Yeah. Amy, as long as it's $29.99, you're the woman for the job.
Woot.
And then, oh, gee, $30 on North for hair in the can.
Yeah, I have no idea. Nothing I'd ever use or need to use for that matter.
Because you don't have the bald spot that you have.
Do not. That is correct.
Do not have the bald spot that you have. All right, Doug, what's the answer, man?
Hey there, Stackers. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug. And before the break, asked you about a wonderful product, so I'm told, called GLH, which, unknowing follicle heathens used to call hair in a can, which, can I say, what a horrible nickname for one of the three greatest inventions of all time. Helped millions of other people, not me, again, just want to be clear about that. No issues in that department here. I pretty much look like, the guy from Welcome Back, Kotter. But other people loved this GLH product. So anyway, it was, it was invented back in the 80s and distributed in the early 90s. But here's today's question. On the infomercial played earlier, you heard it. How much did the pack cost? That amazing three-pack you got. So including the hair thickener, a finishing shield, and the hair cleanser, Ronco, run by serial entrepreneur Ron Popeil, priced this product to move at only $39.92. What a steal! Why it's not available today is anybody's guess. I've been looking. I hear people, they look long and hard for this product and they can't find it. I don't know where it went. I'd love to help those people out. So, if you know where to find this GLH stuff, you could, just send some money or just send me where it is. And then I'll tell everybody else. I'll tell all the other people where you told me it was. So that'd be awesome. See ya.
Oh, stole it.
I did. Yeah. I don't feel that guilty about it, though, to be honest. But I'm glad I didn't say 49 because so there's some vanity pricing in there, right?
Was that 92 cents? Did you say something? $39.92?
92. And I remember, by the way, Len, Ron Popeil on an interview saying he would do things like 92 or 87 because it would catch you off guard because everybody's thinking 99, 98. Everybody thinks that. So Ron Popeil, who was just a genius. Remember some of his other products? He had some crazy products.
I remember the Fish and Magician. I think that was his first one.
The Pocket Fisherman. We were talking about this just a few weeks ago, weren't we?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. $39.92. You're right, OG. I think there was a little room for profit in there. But hey, you had great looking hair. So who cared? Mm-hmm. Hey, let's take out the magnifying glass, guys, and help somebody do better with their money. Today's hotline call comes to us courtesy of MagnifyMoney.com. When you head to StackyBenjamins.com/MagnifyMoney, you know what you find, Amy?
No. Sorry.
You find... I love the deer in the headlights look. You don't know. You find that those financial products you use every day are nowhere near best in class. Over 92% of the products available online, they're all ranked at Magnify Money. So don't just go into your brick and mortar bank and say, what have you got? Head to Magnify Money and you'll see nearly everything that's out there. 92%. That's awesome. It's funny because whenever I tell people to go to Magnify Money and they compare interest rates on savings accounts, big difference between what the brick and mortars are paying and what's on Magnify Money. Good stuff there. Today, we are going to magnify David's money. Say hi, David.
Hey, Joe and OG. I wanted to ask a question about taxable brokerage account. My wife and I have used sinking funds for the past 10 years to save for our next car, make car payments to ourselves, save for home upgrades, vacations, stuff like that. And that works great to get to our goal number. But then once we hit that goal number, most of the time we've either changed our mind or decided to wait or something. So we continue to make those payments into those funds and the accounts continue to grow, but we're not necessarily needing to spend that money. I was wondering what your guys' thoughts were on taking that money, putting it into a taxable brokerage account, continuing to dollar cost average into that taxable brokerage account. The brokerage firm I use has hundreds of commission-free ETFs. I could just buy ETFs similar to what I invest everything else into, then sell off what I need when I need it. Also, what about capital gains harvesting? If I do this, should I rotate my ETFs every year or two in order to keep my tax bills relatively low whenever I do need a large sum? I don't know. Just looking for some insight. I appreciate everything you guys do.
Thanks for the question, David. That's an interesting question. And I've met lots of people who do this. They're great savers. So they save a bunch of money toward a goal. And then they get there and like, yeah, I don't want to spend that money. Which is funny because when you turn savings into a game, oh, gee, you're nodding your head. It happens all the time, doesn't it? It's funny.
Yeah.
People either can't save a dime, but when they start saving and they gamify it, it becomes so fun. They're like, yeah, I don't want to spend it now. Now it's sitting there.
Yeah, I had this exact same issue going on with somebody who asked me about home remodeling. You know, should we pay cash? Should we refinance it into the house? You know, do the HELOC, home equity line of credit, something like that. And I said, well, if you pay cash under the guise of, well, I'll just refi my house later, that never happens, right? You will never pull money out of your house that's paid off in order to fill up your brokerage account.
Right.
You know, like you just go, well, that's dumb. I'm not going to like remortgage my house to put $100,000 in my brokerage account. So, you know, in that case, I said, hey, it probably makes more sense to pay cash rather than add to the debt load. But it's always interesting, especially with the commercial purchases, like a new car or something like that.
Yeah. So Amy, we'll have our guest go first. Let's just take the first question. Let's not talk about the capital gains tax loss harvesting yet. Let's just talk about this idea. If he's not going to buy the thing, does he switch it away from the savings account and instead put it in an exchange traded fund? What does he do?
Well, I was a little unclear if he meant all of the money or if he just meant the money over the original goal.
Me too, by the way.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm assuming they have, you know, it sounds like he has his ducks in a row, he and his wife. I'm assuming they have an emergency fund, they're maxing out their tax advantage accounts, et cetera. And if he's just talking about the extra money over the goal, I think most definitely he should look at putting the money into a brokerage account. But if he's talking about all the money, I think it really just depends. He's saying that he isn't spending the money now, but might he in a year? Might he in 6 months? Might he in, you know, 2 years? Then I would say it depends. Maybe split and do a little bit of both. Maybe take some of the money and put it in a tax brokerage account, but then leave some money in an opportunity fund because perhaps something else comes up that he might want to do with the money and he won't necessarily want to sell any of the things in the account brokerage account.
Yeah. So let's walk through this. So you're saying any extra money, go ahead and start investing that to earn a higher return over a longer period of time.
Right. Yeah. I think what we don't know too is where is the money right now? Is it in just a savings account at a brick and mortar bank? Is it an online savings? Is it a money market, CDs? Need a little bit more information to give him a true accurate.
Okay. So let's pin you down a little bit then. Let's say that, so your answer is every dollar over it, take and put in, you know, longer term exchange traded funds. When it comes to that money though, that's sitting there, that's for the car purchase that might not happen. What would you do with that then if you don't put it in ETFs?
If it's only in a regular savings account right now, I would look at something that would pay a little bit more interest than the brick and mortar, maybe a CD, laddering some CDs, as long as he's maxing out everywhere else. Is he eligible for Roth? Is he putting money there? Is he got his 401k maxed out? All those kinds of things. I'm assuming he does, but I would just put it somewhere where it's earning a little bit more interest than where it is now.
Len, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think Amy pretty much nailed it all. My only other remark was, you know, I hope David is keeping a long-term strategic plan. I don't know how far he goes out, but if he goes out, you know, a year or two, and that kind of sounds like that's about as far as he goes out for his planning. But maybe if he goes out a little more, maybe he could take the money he was intending on saving for a car and maybe apply to something else that he was saving for his 5 years down the road, something like that. But other than that, yeah, I think Amy nailed it.
So would you invest, because Amy said, well, maybe not with the money that is for the car, would you invest the money for the car now that he's decided not to spend that right now?
Yeah, well, there's a difference between investing and saving, right? So, you know, there's investing is investing, saving is saving. It depends how much risk you want to take. So if there's things that you really need and you want to save for, I think you don't want to invest. You want to put in something maybe with a lower return, like a CD, like Amy was saying, laddering CDs or something like that.
And by investing versus saving, you mean stuff that has at least a guaranteed floor versus something that's volatile?
Correct. Yeah. So that way, you know, you're not going to lose everything, right? And, I mean, if you are going to invest, make sure you have an exit strategy, right? Say, okay, I'll put this in an investment earning, you know, where I expect to earn 5 or 6%. But if I lose, say, 10%, then I'm going to pull it out. Just have an exit strategy if you're going to do it that way.
OG, do you agree invest the money over and above?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, at the end of the day, it's really going to boil down to the goal timeframes. And as long as your timeframes match up with your investment time horizon and how those investments perform over periods of time, then you're in good shape. If you need the money for something specific, like a college tuition, you can't just tell your kid, sorry, the market went down a whole bunch. Try again in 2 years. So that money needs to be nice, safe, and secure. But if it's something that's a little indifferent in terms of the goal, someday I'd like to buy a cottage or someday I want to do this fancy trip or something, then you can kind of be strategic about it as it relates to the economy and the market and that sort of thing. So you can invest a little bit more aggressively. So that's the only thing I'd add to that.
Like how hard and fast the goal time frame is.
That's right.
I'm going to come right to you for the next question, a little bit more technical. Capital gains harvesting. What do you think about that? Mix things up a little bit every year so that he doesn't get hit with a big tax bill when he sells?
I don't see how this is beneficial other than keeping the CPA or TurboTax employed. Assuming that your income is the same year over year, then your tax rate on capital gains is going to be the same year over year. In fact, God forbid you do it in a short-term gain, then it would be even worse. But let's assume that it's always long-term and it's always at 20%. Then I think it actually works out better to wait because then you have the opportunity to defer those gains, which thereby you're having the opportunity to compound on the deferral component, let's say. And when you do pay the taxes or when you do capitalize that gain, then you'll pay the piper at that point. Plus, it gives you a little bit more flexibility to work on capital losses. You know, if you're day trading your ETFs or annually trading your ETFs and realizing $1,000 here or there, there may come a time where you have a really big gain and you wish you know, sold it along the way. So
thanks for the question, David. You got a question for us? You too can hear our roundtable tackle your question. Head to stackybenjamins.com/voicemail. And like David, you can also get not only your question answered, but a Greatest Money Show on Earth Circus t-shirt, which I know is clearly a reason to ask a question of us is to get a t-shirt. That's going to do it for today. You know what? Let's go ladies first. Amy, thanks a ton for hanging out with us today. That was a blast.
It was super fun. Thanks for having me.
Well, I feel bad that OG, Chelsea Brennan, you, but besides that, it was a great time. What is happening at Women Who Money?
Our team just got back from FinCon and we're excited to put into effect everything we learned there. Met some fantastic people and watch for new stuff coming soon on that. And we've recently just completed a new ebook that will be free.
Oh, sweet.
That is how to teach your kids about money, what they'll need to learn to achieve financial independence, not only from their parents, but also from work later in life when they're ready to retire early or retire on their own terms.
Great timing for that, by the way, with the start of the school year.
Yes.
Yeah. Good time for some learning, getting your learning going on. Len, speaking of getting your learning going on, what would you be learning people over at lenpenzo.com?
Hey, I've got 11 retirement savings tips for 20 somethings that things that I learned. Actually, I learned the hard way. I should have done it in my 20s. I didn't pick up until I was in my 30s, but just some ideas and stop on by lenpenzo.com and see what I got.
Is it make your own avocado toast? Is that the big one?
No, but you know what? Maybe I'll add that.
Don't want to. Yeah. Len's like, did I say 11? I'm at 12.
Make that 12 retirement 12. Savings tips.
There it is. And OG, what do you got going on this weekend?
Oh, goodness. A whole bunch of the same thing as every weekend in the fall. So got that going on. My little after school activity. Then my other hobby is shifting into second gear. So spent the whole summer learning how to fly an airplane. And now I'm on to flying a faster airplane. So that's the next thing.
That's fantastic.
In my free time.
In your free time. And you got kids sports, I'm sure, this weekend.
I have sports for some children. That is correct.
Yes.
Someone's children will have sports.
You're looking at me like...
I may or may not be involved with
it. I can neither confirm nor deny that there might be sports. I might have an unnamed after-school activity, and I might be flying a thing with wings. But besides that, I can't tell you anymore.
It's not a pterodactyl.
It is not. Although that would be infinitely cooler, by the way. All right, take it from here, Doug. What should we have learned today?
Well, Joe, first, our listeners should take some advice from our panel. Getting in a routine can make all the difference in your profession or even your side hustle. A slow work ethic, well, that can mean a slow income. But learning to move fast and proficiently can be a weapon. Second, take some advice from Aditi and check out Zeta to develop a budget for you and your special someone. Financial independence takes deliberate money management. But the big lesson? Do not tell Joe's mom about great looking hair. She's upstairs right now comparing all of her friends' hair. It's not really polite, Ma. Not really polite. No, Gertrude's hair is just fine. Ma, Gertrude's hair is fine. She's a nice lady with very nice, silky, salt and pepper, wavy hair. It's oh my God. Special thanks to Amy Blacklock from womenwhomoney.com. We'll have a link to Amy's site on our show notes page at stackingbenjamins.com. Len Penzo, the captain of skepticism, appears courtesy of lenpenzo.com. This show was created by Joe Saul-Sehy, produced by Richie Rutter-Reese, and engineered by the amazing Steve Stewart. Online, visit us on Twitter at SBenjaminsCast or on our Facebook page. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and I'm wondering if KY jelly is actually made in Kentucky. SB Podcast may receive payment on the show from sponsors and guests in the form of books, giveaway items, discounts, or other remuneration. There's no way you would take advice from these dorks, but like Joe's mom always says, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only, and before making any financial moves, consult with a real financial advisor.
What was that? It's called the medium sketch.
The medium sketch?
Yeah, it wasn't rare, and it certainly wasn't well done.
We talked about earlier on great looking hair, and it made me wonder if these infomercials ever got you. And I actually want to play for you the one that got me. I can't even believe what, so our producer Caden and I were putting this show together, and I quickly typed this up, and I can't believe we even found the infomercial. So I don't know why Cheryl and I were up at like 4:30 in the morning. We couldn't sleep. We're both up. We have our coffee. I still remember we're sitting there and we're watching this infomercial, and we're seriously like 25 minutes in to this half hour infomercial. And I turned to her. I'm like, why are we watching this? She goes, 'cause we're going to buy it. I'm like, I know we're going to buy it. This product was so amazing. Well, here it is. This is from Arnold's Gourmet Kitchen. This is a little piece of the infomercial about the Great Walk of China.
But remember, in a wok, you can cook any kind of food you like. The secret of the Chinese style of cooking is really just the very high temperatures we cook at and also having a pan built to withstand them. Now, it really doesn't matter whether you cook on gas or cook on electric. If you cook on electric, though, always use the smallest burner you have. If you use a large burner, you're going to heat up this part of the wok, and really you don't want to do that. All you want to do is to heat that little bit at the bottom, the bit that hits the burner, and the wok will take care of the rest for you. Now, we're going to start off by stir-frying a mixture of onions and peppers. And to fry, we're going to use a little bit of oil. Now, the choice of oil we use in the wok is very, very important because of those high cooking temperatures. You need an oil.
I seriously felt like we were taking notes during this thing. By the way, that wok, we still use that wok. Like this ended up being, I don't know, we might have overpaid. Like for great looking hair, you can overpay a little bit.
You can't.
I go all night. Bam. I'm sitting right here, dude. But we still have this wok. It's an amazing wok. I still remember the lessons, by the way, that this dude taught about cooking with the wok. So my question to you is, have you also purchased something that you either loved or regretted from an infomercial? Amy, how about you?
Oh, I have never purchased anything directly from an infomercial.
Never.
Never. However, I've been a customer at those ASCN TV stores that they had in the malls. If yes. You remember those.
Yes.
And I bought a few things there. So I remember buying a Chia Pet. You know, you had to have one of those.
Did
right?
you? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. I never bought a Chia Pet. Did you guys buy a Chia Pet?
Did it work?
Yeah.
It did work.
Mine never worked.
Yeah, it did.
Len, did you have a Chia Pet?
Nope.
Yeah.
Never.
But you bought a Chia Pet and it worked.
I bought a Chia Pet and it worked.
Worth the money?
Probably not, but is it ever?
I don't know.
Actually, I bought some OxyClean, which I think was worth the money. That worked. And then I bought my kids that first state quarters of the U.S. map. Did you guys do that?
Oh, yeah.
Bought that. And then I don't remember buying this, but it's in my house, a George Foreman grill. So I think maybe my husband bought it. Okay.
I totally forgot the George Foreman grill was bought on TV. I tried to buy my parents one for Christmas. I tried to buy mom one and I couldn't get it. Like they were sold out everywhere of the George Foreman
Talk
grill.
About pivoting, huh?
I know.
It's like, all right, so I got my face kicked in a whole bunch. Now what?
Let's sell grills. Bam. That's a good one. So do you like your George Foreman grill?
We don't use it anymore, but we did for a long time. I'm not really sure why we don't use it. I think because he uses the grill outside.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody I know that own one really liked their George Foreman grill back in the day. That was like the hot thing.
We used to use it all the time. I mean, you could cook hot dogs on it or sausages or cheeseburgers or
anything. Know, Anything
that you could put on a grill, you could put on a George Foreman grill. It's amazing.
That's why you pay extra for it, is because anything that goes on a grill will also go on a George Foreman.
Except the steak,
right?
Because that would be bad.
You don't want the steak on the George Foreman grill.
No, I don't think so.
No. Len, how about you?
You know, this is probably 25 years ago. I bought the Eagle Eyes sunglasses. They're really cool. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Blockers?
Well, they are amazing. Even to this day, they are super amazing because you put them on, and I mean, it's like you can just see. You can almost see into the future. They're so awesome. So yes, I did buy the Eagle Eyes sunglasses. I can't remember what I paid for them. Recently, we got the Gotham Steel copper. You know those Gotham Steel copper pans. They're supposed to be I had one. It was a brownie pan, and it was a disaster. And I threw it in the trash. Absolute waste.
So wait a minute, why is that? Did they stick to the pan or what's
they did stick and they were hard to clean. This brownie pan came with a separator to keep your brownies in separate squares, which I think was a design flaw, and it was really hard to clean. And I was just like, you know, this is ridiculous. It wasn't worth it. It was my regular stoneware pan was much better. So I tossed it.
But those sunglasses, the sunglasses were great because you put those on, you can't see shit.
And you know what? There's one thing I've watched this guy. I can't remember his name. but he does the power pressure cooker or whatever. It's a digital pressure cooker. I have the old fashioned one with the gauge on it, but this is like a, looks like a crock pot pressure cooker. Have you seen that guy?
No.
He's cooking everything in there. It's like eight quart. You cook like a whole turkey in like 10 minutes.
He's getting all,
you know, it's like, oh, it's odd. I haven't got it yet, but I am going to get that. That thing's awesome.
Since it's National Bald Day, by the way, did you ever do the Flobee? Do you guys see the Flobee?
Yeah, nope. I know what that is, but
I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So the
it's like a vacuum cleaner that you put on your hair that it has was scissors
a,
in it.
It was a vacuum cleaner attachment.
Yeah.
You had to supply your own vacuum cleaner, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, something like that.
But
yeah.
You just stuck this thing on the end of your vacuum hose on the vacuum cleaner, and it cut like your clippers. Hair. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Like suck your hair in it, but it would get to clippers at the same time. Yeah. It looks like you used the Flobee today.
I did.
Have you seen the people that use those vacuum tubes and they do ponytails for their kids? Have you seen them do that?
Yeah.
Is that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah, if I had ever had to do my daughter's hair, that's what I would use.
You wouldn't do that with your hair, though.
I don't have a ponytail. Keep mine high and tight, man.
You just keep growing it out a little bit.
Just get the.
You ever think about that, OG?
Party in the back?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Business in the front.
Go mullet.
You can, ponytail and cover up that bald spot.
That, yes. Look at you, like glaring
bald shade. Spot. You've been here for like 45 minutes. You are not welcome back.
You know what you can do? You can buy the chia pet and rub the seeds on the bald spot.
I love it. All right, I'm going home. See you guys.
Today, we are going to magnify David's money. Say hi, David.
I feel like I still need to, like, shave things.
Oh, okay. Hold on, sorry.
I feel beautiful.
It's still playing infomercials in the background.
The hair stuff.
I feel beautiful.
I feel beautiful.